us. Amen. Oh, thank God. It is such a blessing to be here. Thank God that he has made a way. I know that we could do nothing without him, and that is so true. It becomes our theme song, you know. And I just couldn't help but think just these moments ago there, we were praying for Tori's dad, and it just brought to mind years ago, just thinking my mother was in a nursing home for the last 2 years of her life, and this one day, my family and my mother, we were in one of the lounge areas and just sharing and being together, and I had to go back into my mother's room for one reason or the other, and she had a roommate, and you know, pretty much this roommate just seemed to be totally out of it. I figured she had, you know, Alzheimer's or something, and it was really something. But anyway, I went back to the room, and lo and behold, here was this woman, and she was just clear in her mind all at once. I mean, you could just tell there was a great difference. Never had seen her sitting up like that and, you know, looking so perky. And anyway, I just felt the need to talk to her about her need for the Lord Jesus. And I know I could kind of tell she's Catholic because at least that's what all the little things that were on her side of the room seemed to indicate. And anyway, I felt like I needed to just say what I could. And I didn't say a whole lot, but, you know, I just hope I said something that would lead her to the Lord, and trust I did, because it was so amazing, because just a few days after that, she left this world, and it was just such an amazing thing how God gave her clarity of mind at that moment when I just walked in there, and you know, our God can do amazing things. And you know, we sing these songs that we're walking with the King. Yes. Do we realize how privileged we are? How wonderful it is to walk with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The one who loved us so much that he came to this world to save us from our sins. Oh, we are so blessed. And oh my, you know, I don't think we often fully realize just how great it is. The Lord's sacrifice and his love for us and you know, the wonderful privilege to serve him. We are blessed. We are blessed and praise the Lord. You know, we've just got so much to appreciate and to be thankful for. And you know, that knowledge that he is with us. So praise the Lord. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, let's pray one more time as we begin here tonight. Praise the Lord. We do thank you, Jesus. We do thank you for your love for us and your care for us, your gentleness to us, your patience with us, Lord. Oh, God, the reality of your being, Lord. And oh, God, that we're not walking around like a zombie. And oh, God, we have no clue how to thank God, but you've opened our eyes. You've opened up our understanding, and we are so blessed, Lord. Oh, God, to be walking with the King. And I just thank you, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you would use my words here tonight, that you'd lead me in the scripture. Lord, oh, God, you know how it's been today. And I pray, oh, God, that you give me the strength and the ability. And, oh, God, I thank you, Lord, oh, God, that you brought us here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, thank you for everyone online. And I just pray, oh, Lord, that you'd walk in us and talk to us. Fill us mightily with the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, give us that deepness with you, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that you'd be with your people, Lord. Oh, God, be with your people, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you would help him, Lord. I know he's been having some pretty heavy pains lately. I pray that you would talk with him and encourage him and, Lord, take the pain away, Lord. Oh God, you know all things, Lord. And oh God, we just pray that you'd put everything together, Lord. Oh God, I know I heard that message there from Bill and Sue, Lord, and I pray that you would bless them on their travel, Lord. Oh God, that you'd keep them safe and that you'd use them there in Thailand, Lord. Oh God, in your precious saving name. Oh God, by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh God, we're so thankful that we can look to you. We're so thankful that we can put all things into thy hands. And I pray, oh Lord, oh God, that you'd be here tonight, Lord. Give me the words, the authority, the ability, and the anointing that I need to teach this tonight. And oh God, I thank you and praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Oh God, in Jesus' name, oh Lord, we thank you, God, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is so good. Amen. And yes, I guess I said it, but oh my, we are so blessed to be his children. Oh, praise the Lord. So we are going to go back to Psalms 105 here tonight and kind of use Psalms 105 for outline, calling this, Oh, Give Thanks Unto the Lord, part two. But oh my, you know, there's so much in God's word that is for our edification. And there's just something I'm hoping tonight that will be brought out. And again, I'm just not real sure how the Lord will lead in all of this. But you know, as people here on this earth, oh my, you know, we go through moments. We go through moments. We go through times. It might be a long stretch of time sometimes when we don't really know what's going on. You know, we may be going through a hard trial, a test of some sort, and we may not understand, you know, what it's all about. But oh my, I am so thankful that we can trust in our God and know that he knows how to take us and turn things around and use our tests, our trials, for his namesake, oh, for his work, and yes, even for our good, too, because God knows exactly what we do need as individuals. And I just see this. I think we will be talking, if all goes as I'm thinking, a little bit about Joseph tonight, and you know, I've pondered him a lot, you know, because I think, wow, you know, emotionally we're not given a whole lot of details about, you know, how all that hit him there, his tests, his trials there in the book of Genesis. But, you know, it could not have been easy to be betrayed by your brothers and so on, and to be sold and you know, and in fact the brothers were plotting to kill him outright. And you know, that's a pretty heavy thing, and he was pretty young at that point, and to go through that, I mean, would not have been easy. But, you know, I thank God for a strength that he gives us that's beyond ourselves. Something greater than ourselves. Praise the Lord. You know, talking about waiting upon the Lord to renew our strength. I mean, sometimes, oh my, what else can we do? But give it to the Lord and let him help us. You know, and just believe. Just believe and trust, you know, that it's going to be okay. We don't understand, perhaps, you know, it's not clear. It may seem very, very, very strange, and it may not be easy. It may be very difficult. One may be facing a lot of pain and hard stuff, and you know, even the suffering of loved ones is certainly not easy to bear. But praise the Lord, we do have confidence in our God, the one who goes with us and the one who makes a way. And as I begin here tonight, I think I'd just like to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter here, to read a little bit as we begin. And I just feel like a lot of these scriptures here just talk about how God helps us through the tests and the trials, the things that we can't put together and wonder why. But oh, praise the Lord, we can trust our God, like I said. And let's read here, Romans 8, and I'm going to verse 28. Praise the Lord, and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." In that process that he takes us through, that wonderful call to salvation. And it's a marvelous thing that God would have pity on us as individuals and that he would call us. It's a very individual thing. You know, your parents may have been wonderful people and perhaps they knew the Lord, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm so thankful for my mother and dad. But you know, just because they were serving the Lord doesn't mean that we automatically serve the Lord. No, it's a very individual thing. And you know, God calls us as individuals, one by one. And wow, it's a wonderful thing, you know, that he who knew us before the foundation of the world would, you know, make a way. And I believe, you know, our salvation is amazing, and we exchange our testimonies often. We just marvel because, wow, you know, how did we get here, you know? But it was the Lord just, you know, taking our steps and orchestrating them even before we knew him, you know, bringing us to this point where we could believe. And it's so phenomenal, you know, just to think how God had such mercy on us and how he called us. And praise the Lord, yes. Goes on to say in verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Oh, he has wonderful things reserved for them that love him, wonderful inheritance for his people." Praise the Lord. So it goes on in verse 33. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." There from Psalms 44, verse 22. But you know, despite all of that, you know, in the middle of those hard tests, isn't it beautiful to think that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ? And then it goes on to say, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Praise the Lord, you know? He called us with a holy calling. And praise the Lord, we are, you know, needing to make our calling and election sure. And that's how we respond. And that's how we go forth living our life. And, you know, we want to do the things that please him, the things that are in his will. Thank the Lord. But oh, yes, You know, we're going to be knocked down sometimes. We're going to go through hard things. But, you know, praise the Lord, that love of God, it restrains us. It gives us a strength beyond our own, praise the Lord. So praise the Lord, despite what the enemy may try to do, or despite the trials and tests that God allows, we can say, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, what powerful scripture, amen. Oh, praise the Lord, if God be for us, who can be against us? That is so profound, praise the Lord. And yeah, he takes our lives. And he knows how to turn around the things that it seems like even the enemy meant for harm, for, you know, destruction even. But by the grace of God, we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, praise the Lord. We have a wonderful consolation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Having read that, let's now go to Psalms 105. And let me just say here as I begin, and I will go through some of the first part quickly, I believe, but verses 1, I think through 15 pretty much are parallel to what is written in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 1 through 22. And that's a beautiful, beautiful chapter there in 1 Chronicles. And it's David's praise to the Lord when the ark was brought back and set up in the tent there in the city of David after all that time. And you know, just beautiful moment, and so, you know, the praise that David has in his heart, oh, the gladness, you know, you can just feel it when you read that chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and of course, the first portion of this chapter 105 is you know, it's the same, pretty much. So praise the Lord, you know, he's saying here as he begins, and we went through this last week, Thanksgiving week, but you know, we need to give thanks every day, don't we? Oh yes, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing praise, oh surely. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Oh, praise the Lord. And there we have quite a little list. I believe we can take those attributes that are listed here and apply them to our hearts. If you want to walk with the Lord, if you want success in your walk, if you want to have a positive confession and walk in faith, I think we've got some things that we can apply in these first five verses here in Psalms 105. The need to give thanks, to call upon his name, the need to make known his deeds among the people, our testimonies that we share. And, you know, there's strength in that. And, oh, yes, others can glean from it and be encouraged. We all have a story to tell. And then, oh, yes, it says, sing unto him. And, oh, yes, oh, when we sing unto him with all our strength, you know, deep down inside, that the words come forth. And you know, it can make a huge difference in our lives. It can change the tide even, thank God. So we need to sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. And oh yes, our speech, you know, it tells who we are. you know, the way we talk, there's testimony right then and there with our reflection on this life and you know, our attitude that comes forth and our vocabulary, you know. We don't use those curse words that other people use. You know, we don't take the Lord's name in vain, you know. Oh, there's many things that we would never want to say, be it far from us, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, so yes, oh, we want to make sure, yes, that we can give glory to his holy name. Praise the Lord. And as we talk of all his wondrous works, and oh, yes, we can rejoice. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord, and that need to seek the Lord in his strength, to seek his face evermore, every day. We need to seek the Lord. Every day has its challenges. There's not a day that we wake up and we can say, hey, Lord, I don't need you today. I'm going to go on vacation and, you know, I'll just, you know, do my own thing today. Oh, God forbid, that would be awful. Oh, we never want to have that mentality. But, oh, yes, it tells us to remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Oh, yes, to recall the wonderful things that he's done for us. Oh, it just brings forth thanksgiving in our deep being. Oh, yes, just think how he has saved us from our sins, from our wretchedness, oh, from our waywardness, oh, and all the moments that he prevented us from even death and everything else that could have went so wrong. Oh, yes, let's remember his wondrous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Amen. And then it goes on. O ye seed of Abraham, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. And we went to Galatians, the third chapter last week. And you know, we as heirs of Jesus Christ, joint heirs with him, are also the seed of Abraham. Praise the Lord, as it tells us in Galatians chapter 3. But oh yes, now in this latter portion of this chapter, middle to latter here, we're going to kind of have a little history, I would say. And it's going to also just give us things to remember and to contemplate here. So, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Praise the Lord. No matter how man may try to avoid his judgments and run them over and not think about them, they still exist. And yes, one of these days we will be judged. Oh yes, according to his righteous judgment. Amen. So it tells us, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham in his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. And oh yes, you know, it was revealed to each of those three patriarchs there, Abraham and to his son Isaac, and then to Isaac's son Jacob. They were all, you know, became acquaintances of God, because God also called them one by one, and yes, emphasized and again remembered his covenant that he had made first of all to Abraham. Yes, so it says, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Oh, it's an amazing thing, you know. When they were called down into Egypt there in the time of Joseph, there were only 70 of them. They came and possessed the land of Goshen that Pharaoh bestowed upon them and allowed them to live in. And, you know, that wasn't very threatening at the first because, you know, 70 people didn't seem like such a lot compared to all the Egyptians. But, oh my, you know, the Lord grew them in amazing ways and everything began to change. But, oh yes, when they were very few, and strangers, you know, it's not so easy to go to a new place and be a stranger, you know, and that's how, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were there in the land of Canaan. They were strangers, and again, you know, that wasn't the easiest thing to do. It isn't easy to get up and go and leave the land where your relatives and friends are and you go to a strange land that, you know, you don't even know where it is for sure or have a very vague understanding and, you know, just go by faith and, you know, realize that the Lord has called you to do so. But that is what Abraham did. And it's such an amazing story, isn't it? Yes, how he had that faith in his heart. Oh yes, that faith to be called the friend of God, to just obey the voice of God, and to get up and go and to leave everything back there behind. Praise the Lord. But God was with him in oh such an amazing way. Oh yes, as they went on their travels and were led by the Lord from one place to the next, oh my, you know, God was with them and he was working out his plan. Just as it is with his children today, you and I, you know, things may be vague at times, and you know, we may not understand, but God's doing more than we could ever understand in ourselves. He knows how to get us from this world to the next. He knows how to get us ready, how to make us fit for the kingdom of heaven. And so it is, you know, we may not understand what all is besetting us. But oh, the Lord is kind, he is patient, he is merciful, and how he helps us. Oh yes, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Oh, praise the Lord. He knows how to keep us in the midst of great trouble. And we are seeing a lot of trouble this day in which we live. A lot of unknowns and things to ponder and wonder about. Amen? But praise the Lord knows one day from the next. And he has appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness. And he knows very well what's going to happen on the morrow. He knows the time of his appearing. Amen. And praise the Lord, we can trust in our God. Amen. Oh yes, to keep us in the midst of great trouble. Amen. And conflict and confusion. Amen. So he said, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Oh, it's an amazing thing. You know, God would not let Egyptian king touch Sarah when she was in jeopardy there. You know, God worked all those details out. And as we went to Genesis 26 last week and talked about Isaac when he had to go into the land of the Philistines there for a season because of famine in the land. And, you know, his wife also became in jeopardy, but God took care of the details. And that's such a beautiful thing. Amen. Oh, yes, he gave them favor in a great and amazing way. Praise the Lord. But now we're going to go into another part of the history of the children of Israel. And here it says in verse 16, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. And now we're going to be dealing with the years of Joseph. And that is such a marvel. But I noticed here in verse 16 where it says, he, and of course that's God, he called. he called for a famine upon the land, and he break the whole staff of bread. You know, and I believe we're going to get into some details here as the Lord leads, but you know, it was such a thing that God caused, and it was totally in his hand and in his plan. And I do marvel at this. This encourages me. You know, that, you know, hold on, you know, I don't see so clearly. I don't know what, you know, is ahead by any means, except that, you know, there's a great promises of God and eternal life for those that live for him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Praise the Lord. But, you know, so many things are not clear in this life. But, yes, the Lord is in charge. So it says, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. In other words, earth wasn't going to produce. And then, we're told, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Now, that's the life of Joseph in short. But oh yes, I want to go through some of the details more specifically with the life of Joseph, because I find it so encouraging. And often when I think of Joseph, I've wondered, wow, you know, that had to be so hard. And, you know, you think, wow, how did he endure it, you know? And obviously God gave him the strength that he needed to overcome, to, you know, keep faith in the midst of tremendous hardships. But oh yes, you just see that without the Lord, how could anybody endure the conflicts that Joseph went through? Let's just look into some of the details here as we go into the book of Genesis here for a little bit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's so beautiful to see how God kept Joseph and how God was with him and how all the things worked together for good. Oh, yes, for Joseph's sake and for the kingdom of God's sake. It's an amazing story. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's go into Genesis 37 for just a little bit. And I'm not going to read this whole thing, but in this chapter, we're, you know, reading about Joseph, and we realize that his father loved him very much, and, you know, he was 17 years old, and, you know, it seems that his father, Jacob, wanted to do a very special thing for him, and let's not be confused, Jacob is also called Israel, the name that God gave him, praise the Lord, after he prevailed in an amazing way. But here it was, Israel, or Jacob, wanting to show his great love for this son, Joseph, made him that coat of many colors. And it worked kind of negatively in a way, because the others, and of course, he was the 11th child in that household, and then his brother Benjamin, he was born, so there were 12 after that, you know, it's quite a few boys, and yeah, then a sister too, and anyway, you know, the fact that Jacob had such love for this son Joseph brought on envy by the others. And then besides that, Joseph had these dreams, and these dreams, you know, were, I'm sure, amazing to him, and he shared them with his brethren and with his parents, and they didn't like those dreams because, you know, it showed them bowing down to him and all that sort of thing. So, you know, that kind of worked against him in that sense. But the story is that there is this day that his father sends Joseph down to Shechem to see how his brothers are faring. They are tending the flocks. And, you know, he, of course, if you don't see your children for a while, you just kind of wonder how they're doing. So Jacob needed a report. So he sent Joseph down to just see how they fared. And so he goes to Shechem, where, you know, they were, at least he thought that's where they were. And anyway, he's wandering around in a field, and then a man sees him and realizes he looks like he doesn't know where he's going, and asked him who he sought or what he sought. And, you know, Joseph mentioned that he's seeking his brethren because they were feeding their flocks, and, you know, that's where they were expected to be, in Shechem. But anyway, they weren't there, and the man happened to know that they were in Dothan. So that's where Joseph is headed now. He goes to Dothan. And as he's approaching his brethren, they see him. They see him afar off, and, you know, oh, you know, that envy, that hatred that is in their heart rises to the surface, and oh, they see their younger brother, and oh, let's take this opportunity to get rid of him. And so they conspire to slay him. And then Reuben, he doesn't really like that plan, so, you know, he says, well, let's not kill him. And you know, anyway, they have another plan that, you know, they're just going to put him in a pit, and, you know, take his coat and, you know, dye it in blood, the animal's blood, and, you know, make like that, you know, he's, you know, been killed by a strange animal. And so anyway, they see him, and, you know, here he comes. They're on an errand from his father, and, you know, before Joseph probably half realizes what's going on, they take him, and they take off his beautiful coat of many colors that his father had given him, and then they take him and cast him into a pit. You can just imagine shoving him into a pit. Thankfully, the pit was empty, and no water in that pit, but oh my, you know, that's pretty mean what they've done. And then, you know, like their conscience doesn't bother them, they sit down to eat. And while they're eating their bread, you know, they lift up their eyes and they look, and behold, there's a company of Ishmaelites coming down the road with their camels and with all, you know, their goods that they are bringing, that they're carrying down to Egypt. So anyway, oh, you know, there's another plan that pops up. Judah says to his brother, and well, you know, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And the brethren, his brothers, were content to go along with that plan. And lo and behold, yes, when these Ishmaelites, and also there's a reference to Midianites here, maybe the same, I'm not sure, unless there's two companies that pass by. But anyway, they draw Joseph out of the pit, and they sell him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And Joseph is brought down into Egypt. Of course, they take his coat of many colors, and they dip it in the blood of a kid goat, and take it to their father, and, you know, have this big lie that they present to him. And poor Jacob is so stricken with great, great grief, and, you know, he rents his clothes and puts on sackcloth, and he mourned for many, many days, refusing to be comforted, and so on. But in the meantime, Joseph has been carried down into Egypt. And I want us to look at chapter 39 at this point, because, oh my, we just see, despite what sounds so cruel and horrible and, you know, like a horrible mishap, and you wonder how in the world, you know, you might even wonder if God was even with Joseph with such a happening. But God was with him, and God was going to use that very event in an amazing, miraculous way. Praise the Lord. So chapter 39 tells us, verse 1, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." And look at verse 2. It's so amazing. "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." So despite this very unfortunate circumstance, and you know, God's going to use it for his good. And it tells us, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand." Oh, the man saw that he could trust Joseph. And God is blessing this whole circumstance. God is with Joseph, and it becomes so apparent that it cannot be denied. And this Egyptian man, Potiphar, realizes that God is blessing him because of Joseph. And so Joseph, being this very caring, trustworthy person, he puts all his trust in him and makes him overseer of his household. And it tells us, "And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." So you can see the blessing of the Lord and the trust that Potiphar has for Joseph, that, you know, he just lets him run his household and, you know, knows that it's going to go well because of Joseph. Well, the story unfolds because his wicked, sly wife, you know, plots in another way and tries to entice Joseph to lie with her. And, you know, the story is that she came to him day after day. Joseph always refused. And then one day, oh my, she grabbed his garment as she was enticing him and telling him to lie with her. And, you know, rather than so engage, he left his garment in her hand and just got out of there. He fled. And then, oh my, she used that to her advantage. She had his garment in her hand, and then so she made up a lie and lifted up her voice, so to speak, tell the tale, spread the tale that, you know, this Jewish man, this Israelite man, had come in and you know, taken advantage of her. And the story goes on that when she told her husband in verse 19, he believed the words of his wife, which she spake unto him. Despite the outstanding trust that he had in Joseph, he believed his wife over it. And of course, she had his garment in her hand, and it looked bad. So with this, Potiphar's wrath was kindled, it's told us in verse 19. And it tells us in verse 20, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison." Oh, a dungeon, a dirty, dark place. Oh, not fit for anybody, I would say. But, you know, here's the amazing thing in verse 21. It tells us, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph, with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Oh, I think this is such a beautiful story, how God can take the negative things in our lives, the things that seem to go completely wrong, and use it for his name's sake and for his glory, for his kingdom, and even bless us in the midst of great trouble. Oh, that's such an amazing story. Oh, Joseph did not deserve to be put into prison. But God was working his plan, and it was an incredible plan, an amazing plan. And in the meantime, God's with him, and it's apparent. The prison keeper can perceive it very clearly that this man is different. He's not like the other prisoners. I can trust this man, and I'm going to put him over all the other prisoners and just leave them in his charge. He'll do no harm. He'll be good. He'll know wisely how to go forth. So God made Joseph to prosper even in the prison. And in the course of all of that, there were two that were also cast into the prison. It tells us in verse 40 how the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker were also cast into prison. There was some kind of offense that the king came up with, and he was very angry with these two officers, and so he put them in ward until, I suppose, understanding would be given, and he could figure out what would follow next. But anyway, there they were put in prison. And again, the captain of the guard, he's charging Joseph with them, Joseph served them, and they continued a season in ward. It tells us there in chapter 40, verse 4. And then God gave them a dream, this butler and this baker. And they didn't comprehend the dream, each man his own particular dream. And after they had dreamt such, Joseph sees them in the morning, and he looks at them, and they're sad. They look very puzzled and confused, I would say. And you can tell that something isn't right. So they are asked, well, why do you look so sad today? And then, they told Joseph, this butler and baker, that they had dreamed a dream, and there's no interpretation of it. God used Joseph in a mighty way to interpret it, and I love his reply in verse 8. Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And so the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and after he told him, and I guess we could just read it. It says here, and the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth. And the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And praise the Lord, Joseph, being told that dream, interpreted it. And, he said, this is the interpretation of it. And God given him this interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine hand and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But Joseph realizes, oh my, there's something more to this. So he requested, this dream was from the Lord, obviously. And so he requested this butler in verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So he's also making requests, realizing, you know, with the interpretation of this dream that God had given the butler, that he was going to be released and restored unto his former position that he had under Pharaoh. And yeah, would he please do Joseph a favor then? You know, remember him to Pharaoh. Oh my, you know, so that favor could be shown unto Joseph. And then, of course, the chief butler, he heard that that interpretation was good. He saw that it was good. And so he tells Joseph his dream. And this is his dream. He said, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph also gave him the interpretation of his dream. He says in verse 18, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Oh, it would be a horrible thing to hear. Amen. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hands. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. But oh yes, the butler, it tells us in verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. And again, that must have been really hard for Joseph, you know, because here it seemed like a wonderful opportunity that, you know, this butler could, you know, put in that good word for him. And, you know, just by the grace of God, you know, he could be restored and get out of that dungeon and have another, you know, way to live, a good way to live, you would think. So, you know, there's hope there. But it tells us, and it came to pass in verse 41, at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. So now, you know, we see God's plan unfolding even a bit more, because, yes, we know the chief butler forgot Joseph, but you know, 2 years down the road, God gives Pharaoh a dream. And what a dream this is. It just doesn't even seem like it makes sense, you know. Pharaoh's down by the river, and, you know, up out of the river, there comes 7 well-favored kine, or cows, or cattle, and they're fat-fleshed, and they are fed in a meadow, and, you know, then, you know, you see another thing. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And then, you know, something you never dream here, you know, you've got 7 very well-fed cows there in the middle, and then these skinny, ill-fed ones that look very ill-nourished and, you know, sick, I would say. And anyway, an amazing thing happens. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat of the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh woke. Oh, how strange, you know, that the ill-favored ones would eat up, you know, the fat-fleshed ones. And then Pharaoh had another dream. He slept and he dreamed a second dream, and in this case there were 7 ears of corn that came up upon one stalk, And they were rank, in other words, they were full grown, you know, healthy looking, ears of corn, and they were good. And then he sees seven thin ears, and they're blasted with the east wind, and they're springing up after the good ears. And another amazing thing in verse 7, and the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears. And you know, that's so crazy. Who could ever imagine that? And it tells us, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And of course, you know, his spirit was troubled with this dream, and so he calls for the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men, and they come, and Pharaoh tells them his dream, but not one of them could interpret it. And then you see the moment, the moment the chief butler finally remembers. He remembers Joseph. And so he's able to say to Pharaoh, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. And so praise the Lord. Such timing. And you see, how God uses specific moments to fulfill his will. In the midst of confusion, you know, and we're waiting on the Lord even and not knowing what's going on, God's working out details. So behind the scene, it would seem, and you know, so unbeknown to us. But how the Lord works. 2 years passed since, you know, this incident, but here at the right moment when Pharaoh needed somebody to interpret his dreams, the butler remembers Joseph. Such an amazing thing. Pharaoh, having heard this, it tells us that Pharaoh sent and called Joseph in verse 14. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none like that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And so Pharaoh tells his dreams to Joseph, that which we have just read. And praise the Lord, we find in verse 25 that God has given Joseph the understanding. Joseph realizes that the two dreams that Pharaoh had are actually one dream. And they all have a very, you know, profound meaning. They are exposing what is going to happen down the road. So it tells us, verse 25, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. like two barrelies to, you know, verify that this dream was from God and it's of the truth. It's going to happen. It's very precise. Praise the Lord. And then he tells Pharaoh, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint offices over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. That food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And oh my, you see how the Lord is using it and how step by step God is working out his amazing plan. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, Pharaoh sees great wisdom in that which Joseph is telling him. So it goes on to tell us, verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? You see, you notice that. They can tell that God is with him. Oh, there, you know, when he was sold there and, you know, brought under the hand of the Egyptian Potiphar, you know, they could see that God was with him. And then even when he was cast into prison, oh, it was very obvious that God was with Joseph. And here it is now, as this has come forth, now Pharaoh sees, oh, that God is working in this man, Joseph. And oh, yes, it all begins to unfold. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, verse 39, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Oh, you can see how it is. If God be for us, who can be against us? And oh, praise the Lord. The Lord puts him in charge, and Pharaoh gives him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. And, you know, then two sons are born down with a little time here. And he's 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. And this amazing event unfolds by the grace of God. And oh, yes, praise the Lord. But oh, yes, the story is so beautiful that despite the things that Joseph had to endure, that had to seem so awkward, so hard, and you know, I mean, he didn't deserve that kind of treatment. But yet, he kept his faith in God. It seems to me whatsoever he did it with all his heart, with a good heart and attitude, with a good spirit, making it clear that he could rise above his circumstances and be faithful and do his best even when things seemed horribly hard. So amazing how God, you know, helped Joseph and oh, how these things unfolded. And you know, God sees us in our afflictions, in our needs. Sometimes it seems that horrible things happen to God's people, but oh yes, you know, God knows so beautifully how to turn this all around and how to give us favor so that his hand can be seen in amazing, marvelous ways. And you know, as the story unfolds, of course, we know that which God had showed to Joseph came to pass, the seven good, bountiful years of prosperity when everything grew and was green and, you know, very healthy. And then the beginning of the time of famine, when things would not grow, when rain did not fall, and all of that. And we know as they were 2 years into the famine that Joseph's brethren came down to Egypt for the sustenance that they heard was available to them there. And as the story unfolds, we would have a couple chapters to go through that we don't have time for right now. But oh yes, as the story unfolds, the moment arises in verse 1 of chapter 45, when Joseph can no longer conceal himself from his brethren who stood before him. And of course, Joseph looks like an Egyptian, and they didn't know him when they saw him at the first. But oh my, you know, that amazing moment when he shows himself to them, and oh my, they see what God has done. Well, let's go to chapter 45 and read a little bit. Oh, praise the Lord. It says in verse 1, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.' And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt.'" You know, now it's coming to the light, isn't it? And I believe it's beginning to click in Joseph's mind as all this is unfolding. And now he's beginning to see the works of God and why this all came upon him, and why his brothers betrayed him, why they sold him, and why he was put into the prison, and all these mishaps that, you know, could have made him so miserable and bitter. Yet now it's coming to pass. Oh yes, the reason behind all this, God's reasoning. Oh, how God was using this. Oh yes, to preserve life, to preserve his family. Oh, to keep them in the midst of a great famine. And oh my, you know, he had them to haste and get up and go back to his father Jacob and tell him the wonderful news. "Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall make haste and bring down my father hither.' And he fell upon his brother Benjamin, his neck, and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good land of Egypt. Or I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, This do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father and come. And also regard not your stuff. The good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandments of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. So, amen. They went back to their father and told Jacob the wonderful news that his wonderful son Joseph was yet alive and that he was to go down. And oh yes, that Joseph would take care of him. Praise the Lord. What a story. What an amazing thing. God's hand and how he knows how to take care of us. You know, the brothers were a little concerned after Jacob died. But I love how Joseph remained in such a state that he could earnestly forgive his brothers and not take vengeance upon them. If we look at chapter 15 here, as I get ready to close here tonight, it tells us there after Jacob had died, and Jacob lived to be an old man. He lived years beyond his time in Canaan. He was 147 years old when he died. And so it is here after his death, it tells us, after they had mourned for him and buried him, in verse 14 here of Genesis 50, and Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. His brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And this is Joseph's reply. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, well, we see this amazing story. The story of Joseph, who was so ill-treated, but yet how the Lord took all these troubles, all this confusion, and all the wondering as he had suffered, through all these ordeals. And yet God turned it around for good. Oh, praise the Lord. It's such a beautiful thing. Oh, to think how God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. We may be in the midst of something we don't understand. It may seem indeed very perplexing, but God knows how to take it. Oh, how to weave his plan and how to take the things that even others mean for evil and turn it around for good. Oh, praise the Lord. He says and tells us again in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Yes, and as it tells us in verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, praise the Lord. We are so blessed to be the children of Almighty God. Oh, praise the Lord, the one who leads us and guides us and directs our paths and knows how to take our lives and make sense out of everything. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. I pray that you would encourage your people, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, oh God, that you'd help us to realize that even in the midst of things that we don't understand, you are with us when we have yielded our hearts to thee, and when we are following thee, you know how to turn things around. Oh God, you know how to take that which seems evil and turn it into good. Oh, thank you, Lord. We know we can trust you. Oh God, we are so blessed to be your children. We praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to turn to number 78 in the chorus book. It's in Keep On Walking by Faith, number 78. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.